Amen. Thank you, Brother Frank. And I praise the Lord as we are in here tonight studying His Word. Of course, our youth group is back in the gym with Brother Dan. And so they are talking tonight from Romans chapter 6. We've got our college and career group out at the radio station. And they are studying through the end times prophecy. And we got Brother David Weirich tonight meeting with a couple of our families. And they're doing some small group discipleship. And so the grounds are full of people gathered around the Word of God tonight seeking to study and to know Him more. But I am grateful that we've had the opportunity to study this in here, to consider this thought, being a man after God's own heart. As we have gone through this each week, I have personally felt challenged. You know, at first you consider the life of David the king. You consider the thought that he was called by God, given the testimony that he was a man after God's own heart. And at first, such a title seems like it is something that is reserved for the select few. For those great ones in Scripture that God just happened to pick to serve Him. Or for those particular pastors or evangelists that God just so happens to use in a certain way. But we stop and we recognize that David wasn't born into royalty. He wasn't born into royalty. David wasn't voted most likely to succeed in high school. He wasn't voted most likely to succeed in his own family. Not even by the preacher that came to visit his family. He wasn't voted most popular. He wasn't considered the most talented. The truth about David is he was just a shepherd boy whose heart was hungry for God. Whose heart wanted to know God, know His will, know His ways, know His word. He was just a shepherd boy whose heart was settled on the reality that no matter where he was, God's approval was enough. God's assistance was enough. God's glory was enough. He was just a shepherd boy who had a heart that desired to serve. Just a shepherd boy whose heart was confident that God could handle his distress and everything. He came that way. And so when we consider David being a man after God's own heart, the reality is it wasn't because David was so great. It was simply because David recognized that his God was so great. And church, the good news is that's something every single one of us can do. Recognize how great our God is. And set our hearts to do His will. That's something that the kids in this room can do. Recognize how great your God is and set your heart to do His will. That's something that we moms and dads can do. We seasoned senior saints can do. It's just recognize how great God is and set our heart to do His will. So this is a study for each and every one of us. I want you to be in 1 Samuel 24 tonight. 1 Samuel 24, as we continue through the life of David. Tonight, we're going to consider David hiding in a cave. Particularly at this occasion, David was hiding from Saul in the cave of En-Gedi. Today, David is hiding in this cave, even as Saul, and as we will see, the Israeli special forces, that's what we're calling them, tracked him and hunted him down. We find in this chapter a very tense moment in David's life. We find in this chapter a very pressure-filled time. In David's heart, though, in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the tension, David had a heart of conviction. In other words, there were just some things about David that they wouldn't bend. There were just some things about David that wouldn't break no matter what. David had a heart of conviction. And tonight, as we consider this idea of being a man, being a woman, being a young person after God's own heart, I want us to consider tonight from 1 Samuel 24, having a heart of conviction. Would you look with me beginning in verse number 1? We'll read the story together. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that he was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. And then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel." That's why I'm calling them the Israeli Special Forces. So Saul rounds up the Israeli Special Forces and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. I want us to consider first about David's heart of conviction. That he had a heart of conviction in such a way that he was submitted to the standard of the Lord. He was submitted to the standard of the Lord. Let me kind of paint you the picture. Saul had come into the very cave in which David was hiding. Now, Saul at this point was not looking for David. For those of you who may not know, the idea of that he came to cover his feet is a Hebrew idiom that basically means he went into the cave to relieve himself. So at this point, Saul wasn't looking for David. Saul was looking for privacy. He was vulnerable. He was vulnerable. And you look at verse number 4, David's men hit David up with some super spiritual sounding words. Look at verse number 4. The men said, "Behold, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good to thee." David's men hit him with some really spiritual sounding words. I mean, they gave him a double behold. Ah, that's good stuff. A double behold. And they invoked the name of the Lord. Church, it sounded great. There's one major problem here. God never actually said this. God didn't say this. They may have thrown in two beholds, and they may have used the name of the Lord, but it wasn't the word of the Lord. And it wasn't the standard that God had set forth for his people. You know what we need to come to understand? That just because it sounds spiritual doesn't mean it is. Just because it feels right doesn't mean it is. Ladies and gentlemen, if our culture has taught us anything, is that you can twist whatever you want to justify whatever you want. I tell you, Satan's been doing it since the beginning. Yea, hath God said. What did Satan do when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness? He quoted scripture. You think of the audacity of the devil to quote the word of God to the living word of God. Well, the reality is, you can take whatever you want and you can twist it to justify whatever you want. But just because you think you've justified it doesn't mean you're justified. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people who seem very sincere in our society, and oftentimes they'll invoke the name of the Lord. They may even give you the double behold every once in a while, but you be careful, because just because it sounds spiritual and just because it feels right in a moment doesn't mean it is. And David had a heart of conviction that he was going to stay submitted to the Lord's standard, no matter the culture, no matter the convenience, no matter the cost. He was going to obey God's word. I love what David said regarding God's word. You look at some of the things he said in the Psalms. Psalm 19, beginning in verse number 7, the Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord," he says, "is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Of all these things, look at his conclusion. "More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb." Psalm 119 is a beautiful psalm surrounding the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 34 says this, "Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Verse number 97 of that same psalm says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Verse number 159 of that psalm puts it this way, "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." And David had a heart. David had a heart that knew that regardless of how spiritual it sounded, the Lord's word did not give him license, as the men suggested, to do unto Saul as he pleased. As we'll see later, David well knew what the statute and the standard of the Lord was in not lifting his hand against the king's anointed. Church, how we need to understand. How we need to understand. In this crazy, mixed up, messed up world. A world that calls evil good and good evil. A world that has lost its ability to blush. A world that makes a mock of sin. A world that makes a mockery out of those who choose to stand for right. A world who at every turn invites the Church of Jesus Christ to compromise with it. And by the way, a decent cross-section of the church who is willingly compromising with the world. How we need to understand in this messed up, mixed up world that God still has a standard, and that standard is still clear, and a heart of conviction says it doesn't matter what the culture says, and it doesn't matter what's convenient in the moment, and it doesn't matter what it's going to cost me in the long run, because I must be submitted to the standard of the Lord. I'll tell you, there ought to be some things in our heart that we just can't bend on. We just can't break on. We just can't compromise to stand for and to surrender the Word of God. Because, church, the Word of God is right. The Word of God is right. And the Word of God will always lead us in righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, a very familiar verse to us. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, teaching us what is right. For reproof, teaching us what is wrong. For correction, that's teaching us how to get right. For instruction in righteousness, that teaches us how to stay right. You see, David's heart of conviction recognized that God has set a standard. And I must submit myself to them. Boy, wouldn't it have been convenient? Couldn't David have easily have justified taking out Saul in that moment? I mean, after all, God did promise that he would be king one day. But no matter how you justify it, it doesn't mean you're justified. And church, we best be sure that we have a heart of conviction. It says, no matter the cost, I will stand for God's word. So David's heart of conviction moved him to submit to the standard of the Lord. So David doesn't kill Saul. What we see is that David rose and quietly cut off the edge of Saul's robe, the skirt of his robe. I want you to see the story takes an interesting turn. Because you pick back up in verse 5 and look what happens. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him. Because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also rose afterwards and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked up behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And pick back up at point number three there. But you see the story. David cut off the edge of Saul's robe. And the Bible says that David's heart smote him. In other words, David felt bad. The Lord began to convict David about what David had done. But David didn't kill him. David didn't hurt him. David just sent a message, as it were. But even in that, David's heart smote him. And because David's heart smote him, he not only stopped his men from harming Saul, David then leaves the cave, exposes himself. Remember, is he with special forces himself? No, he's with men who are discontented. He's with men who are discouraged. He's with men who are in debt. And you got to remember, Saul has got the Israeli special forces on his side. But David exposes himself and makes contact with Saul. Let me show you David's heart here. David's heart of conviction. Not only did David's heart of conviction lead him to be submitted to the standard of the Lord, but David's heart of conviction led him to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, when the Spirit of the Lord spoke to his heart that what he had done was wrong, David responded. David wasn't guided by the conscience of the men around him. David was sensitive to the work of the Lord in his heart. And when the Lord moved in his heart, David moved accordingly. When the Lord moved in his heart, verse number 5, so that David's heart smote him, David moved accordingly. Verse number 8, David also arose after and went out of the cave and cried after Saul. I ask us, church, how sensitive are we to the leading of the Spirit of God in our lives? How sensitive are we to the speaking and the leading and the moving of the Spirit of God in our lives? You know, the reality is that we in the church age have a privilege that no other has ever had. We have the Spirit of the living God who indwells us. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 16. He said, it is expedient. It is better for you that I go away. For if I don't go away, he says, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You think about that. That Jesus said it was better for us to have the Spirit of God within us than to have the Son of God physically among us. You know, John put it this way. In his epistle, 1 John 4, and chapter, verse number 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But how sensitive are we to the moving of God in our lives? We have a privilege that none other have ever had. The Spirit dwells within us. We have the opportunity to moment by moment be filled with the Spirit. It's a command of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, to not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit. And church, you cannot tell me that the Spirit of God dwells within you but makes no difference in you. That's not how that works. But how sensitive are we to the Spirit of God in our lives? You know, David was sensitive to the leading of the Lord. When the Lord moved, David moved. And here, as we noted earlier, he literally risks everything to step out and to do what the Lord was leading him to do. I remind you, David didn't know how it was all going to work out. But David had a heart of conviction that compelled him to follow the leading of the Lord anyway. Church, how sensitive are we to the leading of the Lord in our life? You consider the idea of risk. You know, David took a risk. David took a great risk when he exposed himself like that. And I wonder, when's the last time that we were willing at the Spirit's leading to take any risk for the Lord? To move in such a way. You know, when you consider the idea of risk, we are fairly averse to risk, aren't we? The only risk I like to take is the risks that I know I can cover on the back end if I fail. You know, I'll say there are risks, but in my mind, I'm pretty sure I can cover it on the back end and it'll be all right. So they're not really risks. You know, I think how often the Spirit of God speaks to us. Maybe it's something as simple as the Lord spoke this morning or spoke in a church service and the Lord was leading you to come and pray at the altar. You don't have to pray at the altar. You can pray to God in your pew, but maybe the Lord was leading you to pray at the altar. But we think, oh, I don't know if I should move, can move. What are the people around me going to think? I've never done this before. You know, perhaps it's something as simple as, you know, the Lord taps you and directs you to that waitress or that waiter at lunch today and said, why don't you give them a gospel track? to extend myself that way. You know what? Maybe in a larger sense, the Lord is calling you to take the next step in ministry. Maybe it's to join one of our Sunday schools or small groups. Maybe you want to lead one of our Sunday schools or small groups. Maybe even bigger than that. Maybe at the missions conference, God was speaking to you about ministry. You know, often when the Lord speaks to us and asks risks like that, we will pray about it, which is code for often I really don't want to deal with it right now. But you see, David was willing to move when the Spirit moved. I wonder, church, how sensitive are we truly to the leading of the Spirit of God in our lives? You know, we do more bargaining with God than we care to acknowledge. More bargaining. You know, I'd love to see some of our young people, some of our teenagers, some of our college and career, just go all in for the Lord. Just go all in. But you know, I'd love to see perhaps some of us be willing to set the example. And it's just as simple as when the Spirit moves, I move accordingly. You know, I wonder where the conviction of the old chorus, "I have decided to follow Jesus," has gone. We sing it, but as we follow Jesus, we've got one eye on Him and we've got one eye on the world and we've got one eye on our own assets. And I don't know how we ended up with three eyes, but we did. But to come to the place where we're willing to say, "Lord, if you move, I'll move. No reserves. No retreat. No regret." You know, David had a heart of conviction in that he was willing, compelled to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. I want you to see how this ends. David hears heart of conviction. We'll pick back up in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? He said, Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against the Lord, my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Nor know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it." Note verse 12. "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." Look what he says, jump to verse number 15. Again, the same similar sentiment. "The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand." David's heart of conviction compelled him to be submissive to the standard of the Lord. David's heart of conviction compelled him to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. But David's heart of conviction also caused him to be secure in his standing before the Lord. You see, as David talks with Saul, he twice invokes the Lord to judge between him and Saul. Twice he proclaims that God will set the record straight. And by the way, God will set the record straight. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." But David lived with absolute conviction that God keeps a perfect set of books. And that brought confidence to David's heart. Because David's heart had the conviction that God was in control and that God would be the judge, David didn't have to compromise. Because David had the conviction that God was the ultimate judge, David realized he didn't have to conform to the pressure around him. Because God would be the judge between he and his enemies. You know, church, to even consider that is a heavy thing to invoke the Lord to judge. We don't call lightly the Lord to witness, because the Lord does indeed know our hearts. The Lord does indeed know our motives, does indeed know where pride has gotten in the way. So this is not something that we do lightly. But when we understand that we are submitted to His Word and that we are sensitive to His will, we can and should stand with the conviction knowing that we are secure in His eyes. Because God knows. God knows everything that's taking place because God is near and because God is enough. Church, I remind us tonight, as many have said, that God keeps a perfect set of books. God keeps a perfect set of books. And God will indeed be faithful to judge. This world doesn't understand what we do. This world doesn't understand that we come 2, 3, 4 times a week. This world doesn't understand the way that we invest our earthly treasures in the heavenly kingdom. This world doesn't understand the music that we sing to His honor and His glory. The world doesn't understand the standards that we hold and the biblical ethic that we seek to uphold and to live. The world doesn't understand, and it's not going to understand. This lost world is not going to understand. And I tell you, the days are even here where Christians in this world face active opposition because of our faith. Where we are accused of things and we are called things that we certainly are not. But because the world does not understand, Jesus said, if they hated me, they will hate you. Church, we've had it relatively easy, at least in my lifetime in America. Not a lot of what is actually called persecution in the world. You know, we feel persecuted when somebody slams a door in our face or says not interested or turns a gospel track away. We feel persecuted. Christians in China, North Africa, and the Middle East, and the old Soviet bloc, and pretty much the whole rest of the world would care to differ with what actually constituted persecution. We've had it fairly easy in my lifetime to this point. And I'd say for most of American history. The Church of Jesus Christ has had it fairly easy. Church, let me be a ray of sunshine tonight. I don't know that that's the case much longer. Already, the Church of Jesus Christ is being targeted. For standing for God's truth regarding marriage, for standing for God's truth regarding gender. The Church is being targeted for standing for God's truth. The Church is being targeted for standing for God's truth on life. The Church is being targeted. We could go on and on. And you know, there probably is coming a day, if not already here for some, when elements of job security could be in question or job mobility could be in question, where elements of acceptance in the community could be a question. I'm telling you, church, the day is coming, and it may already be here, where we may see more and more and more active opposition from the world. Like David, we mean them no harm. We're not here to hurt them. We love them. We want to help them. We want to bring them to Christ. We're not here to be the bad guy. But church, remember, no matter what happens, we stay submitted to His will. Remember His will, not what I think His will should be, but His will. Again, just because you can justify it doesn't mean you're justified, but His will, His will, His will. You stay submitted to His will. You stay sensitive to His Spirit. And we can stand with confidence, with conviction, that I need to do right and let the Lord sort out the rest. David had conviction of heart that he was secure in his standing before the Lord. You know, being a man, being a woman after God's own heart, being a Christian who will live to do all of the Lord's will requires a heart of conviction. It requires a little bit of a backbone. A spine, if you will. Being willing to stand when the wind blows contrary. Being willing to live when nobody else understands. The world is going to offer you a ton of alternatives. The world will stand in active opposition. But a heart of conviction recognizes that there is a standard that the Lord has set. And I must submit myself to it. To paraphrase Martin Luther on this remembrance of the Reformation, as he told that council that unless he can be convinced upon the Word of God, that here he stands and he can do no other. God has set a standard that I must submit myself to. That God's Spirit is leading me and I must be sensitive to it. And those things being in place, God will judge. I just need to do right. And I need to let God sort out the rest. A heart of conviction. No matter the culture. No matter the cost. No matter the consequence.